from KQED.
Good morning, I'm Stephen Cuevas, and this is the California Report. The U.S. Department of Justice is expected to announce later today a probe of the San Francisco Police Department in the wake of a controversial shooting of an African-American man 2 months ago. 26-year-old Mario Woods, suspected of stabbing another man hours earlier, was shot and killed when officers say he refused to comply with orders. A video of the incident recorded by witnesses has sparked widespread street protests, and San Francisco Mayor Ed Lee called for a federal investigation of the SFPD. The department also faces criticism for a separate incident involving homophobic and racist text messages sent by officers. Super Bowl 50 is, as you may or may not know, being held just south of San Francisco this year in the city of Santa Clara. And even though kickoff isn't until Sunday, the pregame festivities are in full force. Up to 1 million people are expected to pour into the Bay Area throughout this week for concerts, street festivals, and fireworks shows. But law enforcement also wants you to know there's a darker side to all the fun. Sex traffickers trying to cash in on the big event. Here's more from reporter Tara Seiler.
Construction workers were busy in the countdown to Super Bowl 50. They built Super Bowl City, a spectacle for the fans in the heart of downtown San Francisco. About 10 miles away, at San Francisco International Airport, the district attorneys from four Bay Area counties gathered at a news conference. Santa Clara DA Jeff Rosen went over some of the details of a public awareness campaign to fight both sex and labor trafficking.
To find and rescue those who are being exploited and enslaved, we have to team up. Law enforcement, airport workers, and all of you out there to be extra vigilant.
The annual game that brings together a lot of men, money, and parties is often linked to a big spike in sex trafficking. There's no hard evidence to back that up. But, says San Francisco District Attorney George Gascon,
we know that we have an opportunity to get attention to this issue today, perhaps in a way that we wouldn't every other day, and we're taking advantage of that.
Many nonprofit and government agencies are also taking advantage of the national spotlight. They're joining with the FBI and local law enforcement. The campaign includes training bus drivers, airline and hotel workers to watch for signs someone is being coerced. At this training in Oakland for hospitality workers, one of the speakers described how some traffickers brand the women with a signature marking on their bodies.
You know, we talked about the tattoos. We talked about maybe a very large age difference. We can talk about maybe a youth who's averting your eyes.
Anish Sharma manages a motel near the Oakland airport, and he says some of these signs do look familiar.
Yeah, definitely, sure. Because, you know, the too many people in and out, the overly smelly rooms, and as well as the tattoos also.
Another piece of the anti-trafficking campaign aims to educate the general public. I'm standing in front of a billboard in downtown San Francisco. Standing here with me is Sharon Denoa. She's the coordinator at the South Bay Coalition to End Human Trafficking, and she's heading the No Traffic Ahead campaign. So, Sharon, what message are you trying to get across with this particular billboard?
So the billboard we're looking at is a pink billboard with a still life of a cell phone, and it reads, "Is there an app for sexual exploitation? Ask your teen." What we're really getting at here is the grooming process that happens in social media with minors that can lead to sexual exploitation.
This billboard is trying to drive home the message that a lot of sex is being bought and paid for online. Bertram Ferries is a special agent with the FBI. He says they're scouring websites known for selling sex. The FBI has set up a special operations center that includes officers from Bay Area police departments.
Our game plan is to target traffickers and to target those who are participating in the activity, sometimes we refer to as Johns.
And Ferry says they're shifting their approach toward the sex workers themselves by offering them housing, food, counseling, and other services.
Even if an individual does not want our assistance, even if they are not cooperative, that in itself does not necessarily say that we're going to turn around and prosecute them.
But attorney Kate Mogilescu is wary. She's with the Legal Aid Society in New York and runs a program for trafficking victims. She says during the 2014 New Jersey Super Bowl, there was a similar public campaign against human trafficking. And she says a crackdown by law enforcement just led to a lot of women being swept up on prostitution charges.
Our experience here was incredibly frustrating, and it was incredibly frustrating to live the experience on the ground in criminal court versus what we were seeing and hearing on the news. They were very, very disparate experiences. And I hope that doesn't repeat itself.
Some of the advocates working with the Bay Area campaign say it's a valid concern. Again, here's Sharon DeNoah.
So particularly with the Super Bowl, there's an enormous amount of pressure for law enforcement to produce numbers. And so what you see is the numbers are really just restricted to arrests.
She's focused on what this campaign could ultimately mean for trafficking victims.
It would be a great success if at the time of these operations, individuals aren't just identified as being survivors, but we can get them services. So for us, it's really looking at the bigger picture.
The bigger picture, she says, includes fighting human trafficking long after the last play of Super Bowl 50. For the California Report, I'm Tara Seiler in San Francisco.
Finally this morning, the city council in Pasadena is set to vote later tonight on whether to boost the local minimum wage to $15 an hour by the year 2020. If it does, it'll be just the latest big city in Southern California to endorse a wage increase after Long Beach, Santa Monica, and both the city and county of L.A. There is a caveat, though, a loophole that would allow Pasadena to pause the pay boost if there's evidence that it's hurting local businesses. And that's the California Report for Monday, February 1st, a production of KQED Public Radio. From KQED's Los Angeles Bureau, I'm Stephen Cuevas. This is the California Report.
Support for the California Report comes from the California Endowment, working to achieve health and justice for all. Learn more at calendow.org. Polsinelli, a full-service law firm providing practical legal counsel to businesses nationwide, San Francisco and Los Angeles. Charles Thompson, managing partner. Polsinelli.com. Real challenges, real answers. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.